Little Lionel bringing us in can only mean one man. Christopher Dwayne Sanders joining us here on the program. What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. Just got back from camp, and we got our first scrimmage tonight against Independence. So it just I don't know, it just feels different. I'm up this morning about to eat some cereal. You know, got a kiss from my wife this morning because it is football season. I'm excited, man.
It is truly here. All right, so how did camp go for the Big Red?
It went pretty good. You know, you're in camp when you know, because we had camp at Swanee. You know, it's camp when you get into your dorm room and you see a big old bug walk across in your room. So you right then and there, you're like, it is camp time. We have no telephones, no TVs, and you know, it's just a time for us to Coach Uberod, he does a great job to bring in everybody as a family, because the thing about it is, you know, as a football team, if you don't become a family, you're not going to win any games. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. So great. Coach Uberod does a great job by doing that.
So here's my question about camp. And I think you worked with Coach McGugan there at NBA. He was our coach at FRA.
Yes.
He was our coach at FRA. And we went to camp. And it was like, okay, curfew, bedtime is 10 o'clock or whatever. Everybody's got to be in their bunk. Everybody go to sleep, right?
Yep. Yep.
We didn't go to sleep. You know, we sat up and talked and, you know, all that, like boys will do, and, you know, had fun and story time and stuff. And the coaches would come check and make sure we were asleep. And so we always had a lookout guy and, you know, and everything. And so my question is, I'm sure it's still that way. Yes. You guys probably did the same thing. So it's like, do you truly get mad if your team is bonding? Because that's exactly what they're doing, even though they're breaking the rules a little bit. But that they're having a good time and they're getting to know each other and becoming more of a team.
You know what? Chase, you hit it right on the head, because the thing about it is when you have a roommate who has somebody that you don't know, but then you spend like 2 and 3 weeks with them, you get to know them. You get to know their heart. You get to know where they've been. You get to know what, you know, the things that they like and they don't like. Because the thing about it is, if you don't know your player, you don't know your teammate, then how are you going to play in the field together? So I agree with you 100%. And we used to do that when I played with the Tennessee Titans. My roommate was Rodney Thomas, you know, rest his soul, he passed away. And I got to know Rodney Thomas, not Rodney Thomas as the football player, but Rodney Thomas as the man. And here's the cool part about the whole thing. You know, he was a Christian and everything like that. And there was times where, you know, we would have, you know, days would be tough. So what we would do is we would kneel down beside our bed and pray together. I mean, nobody knows that. That's the first time I ever shared that story. But it's just things like that that brings the bond together. And it just made me have so much respect for Rodney Thomas. Why? Because I got to know him at camp as a roommate.
Amen to that. Very good. Chris Sanders is with us. All right. So you know, as we've talked about, you've been a mentor as a player and now as a coach.
Yes.
Jeffrey Simmons. I think Jeffrey Simmons is a really good player. I think he can be a great player. I think he can get to that point. But, you know, there's some things that happened this week, both on the field and off the field, of how he conducted himself. And he said he's a leader. The coaches, the players have said he's a leader, but he didn't really show it. So what would be your advice if you pull him aside and say, hey, if you want to be a leader, you got to act like it. These are the things you have to do. And he apologized, and I'm hoping that he does move on and learn from it. But, you know, I think that was a bit of a growing up moment for him.
Yeah, it was. But here's the cool part about is, you know, I think sometimes we always focus on the mistakes.
Sure.
We got to understand we've all made mistakes. And I think with Jeffrey Simmons, he made a mistake. And we all made mistakes. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Is in 1998, I'm not going to say his name, somebody said something in the paper about me, and I got mad. And I went after the guy, and I said some things I shouldn't have said. So I can understand how Jeffrey Simmons feels. But at the end of the day, I had to go get it right. And then I left after I got done getting mad at the guy. I said, what did I accomplish by going after the guy? So even though, you know, it was a bad decision, I had to get it right. So if I had a situation to talk to Jeffrey Simmons, I would tap him on the back and say, I know you made a mistake. I know you were upset. I know you were tired that day. I know you were tired of all the riff that was going on. But here's the great part about the whole situation is, you win and you got it right. That's great leadership. Because the thing about it is, you owned up to it. You said, yes, I made the mistake, and yes, I blew it. Yes, I shouldn't have did that as a leader. But great leadership is going and making it right. So I praise him for that.
I want to know what Paul Kuharsky wrote about you.
What got you mad?
I thought about saying it, and I didn't, and you didn't let me down.
Hey, Paul, if you listen, I love you, but I was very upset, and it takes a lot for me to get upset, and when I get upset, it takes a lot for me to come down. And he said some things that I didn't agree with, but at the end of the day, his job is to, you know, say things that he thinks, and I got to respond in a better way. So I take full responsibility to that. That was my fault. I took it to a place to where I shouldn't have taken it. And what I had to do is I should have told my emotions to shut up, because my emotions were like, he said this, he doesn't know about you. But I should have shut my mouth and said, you know what? It doesn't matter what the opinions of they say. It all depends on the opinions of what Derek Mason thinks, or, you know, or Kevin Dyson thinks, or guys that I play with think. That's all that matters. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. What a person writes in a paper about me, it's kind of like this, just having a ball of paper and crumbling up and throwing it in the trash. And that's what I should have did, and that was just my fault.
There you go. It's all part of, you said you've matured as you grew as a player. Yeah. You matured through all that. DeAndre Hopkins is out now 4 to 6 weeks. What can he do now that he's not going to be actually physically on the field, but how can he help the team from this injury standpoint now, as, you know, being a leader, talking to young guys? Yep. What all can he do?
You know, I think the key is talking to the young guys. I think you don't want to just be absent and just kind of be in the training room all the time. You still want to be in the meeting rooms. You still want to be watching film. You still want to mentor Traylon Burks. But, you know, even though that DeAndre Hopkins is out, this is a great opportunity for Traylon Burks to showcase what he can do. I mean, just watching what he's been doing on the field, you know, some of the videos, I mean, he looks like a different person. I mean, his physique looks different. You know, his attitude looks different. He's playing with more confidence. And then also just kind of watching his overall game. You know, last year and the year before, you know, the things that he was struggling in, he's getting better at. I watch what he's doing at the line of scrimmage. I'm watching how he's getting out of his cuts even better. And I think that's a token to watching DeAndre Hopkins. So if he's watching DeAndre Hopkins, he's watching him as a professional. He's watching him how he gets out of his gut. He's watching him how he does, you know, film rooms. I think he's taking a lesson from learning from D-Hop.
Well, good. You know, training camp could be a bear, especially, you know, when you played back then, and it's completely different now from all that. What did Chris Sanders get out of training camp when you were in your third, fourth, fifth year in the league? What did you get out of camp? Because you hear some people talking about, he doesn't need training camp anymore. But what did you get out of it when you became a seasoned veteran?
You know, my mentality was a little different. You know, everybody says, well, I don't want to go to camp. I've been there. This is my fifth and sixth year. But if you want to be a great player, you want to consistently want to get better. So what I did is kind of like this is I'm going to share a Rocky term. I remember I was watching Rocky, and I guess he was about to fight Apollo Creed, whatever. And his trainer said this. He said, you got to do something that you've never done. So what he did is he trained left-handed. So now when he gets in the fight, he beats Apollo Creed. So that's the kind of the same thing with me in football. I took my weakness. What was my weakness? If it was getting out of my cuts, if it was catching the football, I worked on my weakness to get better. So even though a lot of people don't like to go to camp, I took it as an opportunity to work on something that I need to get better with. Because here's the deal. You said something last week, Big Joe, that was so profound that you'll never value something until it's gone.
Yep.
And the thing about it is, if I don't want to go to camp, I'm tired of drinking Gatorade, I'm tired of eating all this food, I'm tired. I mean, what in the Sammy Hill? You don't have to. You get to. So if I could sit there and rewind my whole life again, I wouldn't skip the practice. I would run the practice, because you never know. You're one play away from it being ending.
You're right. Do you have a memory of Bruce Matthews walk around the locker room looking like Bigfoot? I'm just curious. One of the hairiest men on the planet.
Oh, my gosh. Super Bowl. Okay. We're at the Super Bowl, right? And you know how everybody has their camera. So I have my camera, and I'm taping, and this is going to be PG, it's taping, and I'm taping, whatever. So I go watch the film, you know, about 2 years later. I'm like, wait a minute. I look at the film, I'm like, what in the world? When I tell you, he had the hairiest back I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I thought he had a wool cover on. I'm like, what? I mean, okay, I understand you have hair on your shoulders. I mean, not on your shoulders, but on your arms and on your legs. He had trap hair. I mean, well, how do you have trap?
He's just a massive human being, man. Man,
he's just a massive hairball. I mean, he's just.
Oh man!
It was when I tell you, it was just. He's the hairiest dude I've ever seen. Unbelievable. There we go.
Well, that's a good visual to have for sure. Chris, appreciate it as always. Sir. We will see how the rest of camp goes. We'll catch up next week.
Appreciate you. Love you, brothers.
Bye. Yeah, you too. Chris Sanders joining us here on the program, and appreciate him.